Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Conning has just released its State of the States report, revising its outlook on state credit quality as states appear to be getting back to normal from pandemic-era conditions. I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and I'm speaking today to Carl Citroen. Carl is a managing director and head of municipal credit research at Conning and one of the authors of the report. Carl, so glad you could join us today.
Thank you for having me, John.
So in Conning's 2024 State of the States report, you've upgraded the firm's outlook for the credit quality of all 50 U.S. states to stable. What led to your improved outlook?
Well, first, maybe a bit about the State of the States, which we have been producing for over 15 years now. It's kind of instrumental in identifying both short and long-term trends that affect all 50 states. It's not really an in-depth credit analysis of each state, but it does sort of offer a comparative overview of economic, socioeconomic, and fiscal conditions across the states. Now, this is our first stop at sort of identifying investment opportunities within municipal bonds for our clients. States are the largest issuer of municipal debt, but under the states, there are about 50,000 local issuers contributing to the market. So it really offers a broad range of municipal credits that we could identify through this report. And as far as the outlook goes, we anticipate that conditions will remain relatively stable compared to last year. In the previous year, we assigned a declining outlook due to expected slowdowns in tax revenue growth, and that indeed occurred. But for 2024 and into fiscal 25, we foresee moderate revenue growth for states. However, inflationary pressures are likely to increase expenses, potentially requiring states to use their reserves to cover budgetary shortfalls. And it's important to note that these reserves for many states are currently near record high levels. So despite these potential challenges, our stable outlook really reflects our confidence that states and their governments will manage their affairs effectively in this environment.
What states do you think are doing well, Carl, and what creates those conditions?
Yeah, we develop our rankings by analyzing 13 metrics from a variety of government and corporate sources, such as population, employment, and GDP growth are things we look at. We also look at debt levels and reserves, states' tax climate, and even changes in housing prices. So as a result, states can really outperform other states in different ways. But for this year, we saw that Nebraska and Wyoming took the top two spots. And that was really because they levered their rich natural resources quite well. And other top performing states like Texas, Alaska, Oklahoma kind of did the same for their reliance on oil and gas resources.
On the flip side, what states are doing poorly in your opinion and why?
Yeah, we highlighted Delaware and New York as two such states, and they rely heavily on financial services, which lagged in economic growth, which was kind of surprising to observe that in 2023. Another state we highlighted was Hawaii, that because of those devastating fires they had in Maui last summer, I think it was, really significantly saw some of their economic indicators impacted by that natural disaster.
What can a state do to remedy relatively poor or underperformance? And do you have any examples of such states?
Yeah, I already mentioned that we have several different indicators go in our ranking, and each we weigh somewhat similarly. So states have a variety of options to change their performance. But I would say the one thing they control is sound financial management. And really what that comes down to is matching your income, which primarily is derived from taxes, to your expenses. And so it's really about living within your means. And if you look at last year and even the year before, some states aggressively cut taxes. You know, we would encourage state not to overspend and maybe be somewhat more conservative when it comes to cutting taxes and really look at making structural improvements such as boosting pension plan contributions or enhancing your rainy day funds. Now, those steps really help states long term and also help them navigate economic downturns. So some states that did well, in our opinion, were Connecticut, Illinois, Kentucky, New Jersey. They used some of the financial windfalls to bolster their pension and other post-employment benefit plans, which we deem to be a positive.
Carl, the report notes that states may return to pre-pandemic fiscal conditions. What is that, and how did the pandemic affect state finances?
Yeah, here we're really pointing at the decade following the great financial crisis. You know, during that period, states experienced moderate economic growth and generally adhered to conservative debt practices, and gradually, you know, increasing pension contribution and rebuilding depleted reserves because of what had happened during the great financial crisis, where they had to dip into some of those savings. However, you know, during the pandemic, we saw a significant financial boost for many states because of abundant federal aid they received and the economy that rebounded very quickly. As a result, state tax collections surged by over 40% in 2 years, and that really improved their financial standing. But looking ahead, we're not expecting much to come from the federal government in terms of aid. And while their reserves are currently very robust, you know, some states will face budgetary pressures because of, you know, persistent inflation and rising costs.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Do you expect that migration patterns will revert to pre-pandemic conditions?
No, not exactly. I think what happened during the pandemic is that migration patterns that we had seen prior to the pandemic intensified during the pandemic, when many people moved to lower cost areas because remote work allowed them to, or they sought to be closer to family. This year, we observed a slight reversal in that trend, where some people returned to areas they had previously left. You know, you can look at the Northeast, for example, where outside of New York, which continues to experience population declines, states like New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts did see growth in 2023. And on the other side, some states that had previously done very well, like Arizona and Idaho, they kind of slowed down or showed signs of moderating growth. And I think looking ahead, what the key here will be is sort of this issue of affordability, which we point out in the report. You know, we don't expect migration patterns to fully revert to pre-pandemic levels, because some states are less attractive now than they were prior to the outbreak of COVID-19. And you can see this in the data with Utah, for example, which had ranked very highly when it came to home price appreciation for several years, now is underperforming relative to other states in that category.
Despite the upgraded outlook, you encourage states to prioritize needs over wants in 2024. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it kind of comes down to that issue of reduced tax rates, which I already highlighted. This came after several years of very robust revenue growth, but it's somewhat of a concern to us because that growth in part was driven by federal aid, which is now winding down. And on the expense side, states are still faced with substantial infrastructure needs, and inflation is driving up the cost of those projects. And you couple that with higher interest rates, which makes borrowing more expensive. Now, this will strain their finances going forward. We also highlighted in the report that states hired quite aggressively last year, and here they have to compete with the private sector. So we do think they are taking on some expenses that and benefits associated with that that they're going to have to pay for sometimes up to 30 years. And those are really difficult to reduce, those expenses. And that's why in the report, we kind of look at the intersection of fixed cost and reserves. And we kind of favor states that have a relatively high percentage of reserves and a smaller percentage of fixed cost. And Wyoming and New Mexico are two examples of states that are doing well in that category. And on the other hand, you know, states like New Jersey and Illinois, you know, despite their efforts to bolster reserves, are still fairly weak in that category versus other states. And they also have a very high fixed cost. So that's a very unfavorable combination.
Carl, what's been the trend of insurers allocating to municipal bonds?
Well, historically, P&C insurers had the largest allocation to tax-exempt municipal municipal bonds in the municipal market, and this ranged anywhere from 10 to 40%. But these investments were, particularly attractive because of their tax advantages. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act reduced that because it lowered the corporate tax rate, and since then, allocations to tax-exempt municipal bonds have significantly decreased. You know, some companies have actively sold off their municipal portfolios. Others have allowed these allocations to mature naturally. The shift is really driven more by relative value, you know, compared to other asset classes than there being fundamental credit concerns within the municipal bond sector, which continues to be very solid. As such, you're still seeing insurers allocate the monies towards municipal bonds, but just at a much slower pace. Because, you know, tax-exempt municipal bonds and as well taxable bonds are still a high quality diversifier, and they have appealing opportunities typically found in the longer parts of the yield curve. So I think in summary, you know, we are observing a decrease in allocations to municipals, primarily due to changes in relative value stemming from corporate tax rate changes. But, you know, nevertheless, the municipal sector continues to offer high quality diversification for insurer and their portfolios, and remains a valuable component of many companies' investment strategies.
Carl, thanks for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Carl Cetrone, Managing Director and Head of Municipal Credit Research at Conning. And I'm John Weber for AM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.